Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 with a live studio audience. Woo! Those never get old, do they? That will definitely wake you up on a Monday morning. Boy, oh boy. We have a crazy, crazy Monday motivation ahead for you today. The great villain caper. It's actually a crazy story. But before we get to the great villain caper, we have a busy December with Project 613. Thursday, we have our winter toast. Yes, not toast as in bread, but toast as in champagne. And we are having a social event for young professionals in downtown Chicago. And it is going to be awesome. We use our space for Shabbos and for learning. We thought, you know what? Let's get everyone together for a good old-fashioned celebration of more than 1 year in our new Project 613 downtown space and center. It is really a blessing from Hashem. A lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight, well, today, whenever you're listening to this, is gratitude and an attitude of gratitude. And so we are just so thankful to all of our Project 613 supporters who really are stepped up and the incredible leap in our budget this past year. Each month, rent and utilities, $5,000 a month. It's absolutely incredible. And people have stepped up because they believe in what we're doing and they believe in the next generation of Jewish leaders that we are, God willing, and with tremendous divine assistance, educating and inspiring to love being Jewish, to be proud of being Jewish, and to know what it means. Brass tacks, bottom line, what it means to be Jewish. So we are celebrating that on Thursday. If you have young professionals in your purview that you want to have an amazing party with an open bar. Yes, Rabbi's doing an open bar. And jazz ensemble and a crazy menu of like international themed tapas. I don't know what that is, but I saw pictures. It looks really good. And it's going to be phenomenal. So please spread the word. Project613.com/toast, TOAST, project613.com/toast. There you have it. Final thing I'll say about that is we are doing a toy drive. We call this a party with a purpose for Chicago Chesed, an amazing organization that provides many, many things. But one of them is toys for needy Jewish families around the Chicagoland area. And so we're turning it into a toy raiser as well. Okay, here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. Are you ready for the great villain caper? So one of the beautiful things about living in the Jewish community here in West Rogers Park is that there's so many amazing opportunities to kick up your game in serving the Almighty. One of the major mitzvos that is incumbent upon a Jewish man is the mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin are an absolutely incredible mitzvah. Bar mitzvah boys get it. In fact, I'm meeting with the scribe, I hope even this week, to start planning the tefillin for my own son, right? For those of you who don't know, my wife, Suri, and I are blessed with 8 children. 7 of them happen to be daughters, and one of them happens to be a son. So his bar mitzvah is this summer. So we already are getting ready for that momentous celebration with tefillin. And so tefillin is a huge mitzvah. Bar mitzvah boy gets it. And it's a mitzvah that is near and dear to really every Jewish male. It's a part of waking up, of beginning one's day. There are crazy stories about how much people go to the nth degree to be able to put on tefillin every day. Obviously, we don't put it on Shabbos or Yom Tov on Jewish holidays, but every day that we're obligated to put it on, Jewish men, you know, traveling, packing. It's the first item that is packed. Okay. So what happened? So there was an opportunity to get the tefillin checked. Now, just like the mezuzah, there's two parts of the mezuzah. There's actually really only one part of the mezuzah. That's the scroll. Okay, and everyone makes the mistake that I bought a beautiful mezuzah for my grandson. It's gorgeous. And, you know, grandma spent $200 on this fancy case, but the parchment is photocopied and not kosher. So the real mezuzah is the scroll. So too with the tefillin, in certain ways similar, certain ways different. There's really two aspects of the tefillin. The inner scrolls are excruciatingly important and expensive, but also the external parts of the tefillin are very important, unlike the mezuzah. Both parts of the tefillin are crucial. So for example, a mezuzah, you could just literally tape a scroll to the wall, you would fulfill your obligation. But tefillin, if you just had the parchments without what's called the batim, without the houses, they would not be kosher tefillin. You need both the inner scrolls and the black painted leather boxes, one for the arm and one for the head, and then there are the straps. And I noticed that my straps on my arm tefillin were getting a little worn, and I said, you know what, it's always good to get a touch-up. So I brought the tefillin to this community-wide program, which was amazing, and I give a shout-out to Chicago Mitzvah Campaign, Rabbi Wolf, who does such great work in our community. And he brought in what scribes from the East Coast and plus local scribes, and people could come in and get their tefillin checked. Okay, so turns out that my arm tefillin needed to be painted. The black is not the natural color of the leather, but in fact, it's a certain paint that goes on, and voila, I bring them over and puts them out, and they get painted. But here's the deal. It takes about 15 minutes for the paint to dry. Now, me being a little bit like, I got a big event this week, and I got a Shabbos in the city the next week, I'm like, am I really going to stick around here for this? Let me just walk over a few feet and just get a little private space, and I'll start, you know, annoying my young professionals. Hey, you coming to the party on Thursday? What's going on? You coming to Shabbos in the city? And I go ahead and I do that. In addition, one of our amazing students, Project 613 participants, Elon Modalevsky, amazing, engaged to Adel Berdachevsky, just a powerful, amazing young couple, growing in their Judaism, so proud of them, doing tons of our programs. Anyway, he was there to check his tefillin, and I was just so impressed that he came. And we're schmoozing, yapping away about different things, etc. And I make my way back to the table and my tefillin are gone. They're out. They are somewhere else. And I keep looking at this and that and the other. And I start like getting concerned. And then I feel, you know, that nervousness when you lose something that's very near and dear to you, that you get a little nervous. And then I said, okay, calm down. There are people in the room. You don't want to make a fuss. And most of all, I really felt like, you know, Hashem is watching you, Garfinkel. Okay. You call yourself a rabbi. Calm down. Okay. You're going to set an example. Things don't go your way. You're going to be a big boy. You're going to stay calm. Everything's going to be great, even though I was excruciatingly nervous because it was really a community-wide event. It wasn't just people from one synagogue. So I really had no way of determining who had, you know, basically taken mine. There was, and I waited there and I talked to them, and there was no official registration and people came in and there was no real way of determining, you know, who was there. Now, there weren't a million people there. There weren't even 1,000. There were, you know, a few dozen people there. It wasn't like a needle in a haystack. But on the other hand, that most of the people there, I did not know. So I just don't even know what to do. What would you do? Like, where do you start looking? And then the suggestion came, which was absolutely incredible. And I'm not sure I honestly would have even thought about it, is Let's check the videotape. Yes, it was NFL Sunday today. Let's check the videotape. Pretty much every synagogue today has security cameras that are recording on an endless loop of everything that happens in the shul. And so I call the president of the synagogue, and he's on it. He's working on it. There's only one issue. The person in the shul who knows how to access the video is on vacation in Panama. In Panama. He could be in the middle of the rainforest. So the president is messaging this person, and I'm messaging this person, and it is absolutely unbelievable what happens. So eventually we get through to him, and from Panama, from his phone, not even a laptop, he takes snapshots of the video camera loop in 6:10 from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. this morning of the room that we were in to reconstruct the crime scene. And I see when I came in, I see where I was at one table, and then I go over to the other table, and then we see, and I knew everyone there, and there were a lot, there were people who were there at the one table where the tefillin were getting painted. I had already spoken with them. There was only one person in the video who I did not know who it was and who was there at the same time. And right when the video shows that I come back to look for it, he is no longer there. And so these messages are being sent from Panama, and we're able to reconstruct that there was this gentleman was most likely the one who my tefillin and his tefillin got mixed up. Now, after having looked at both of them, it was obvious why the mistake was. They're all not identical, but very close in many ways. And there was only certain markings that I knew that were on my tefillin that allowed me to be able to identify it. So it's an honest mistake, and it really could have happened to everyone, and possibly I could have even taken his. Now, here we go. What happens next? No one knows who the guy is. Are we going to track this guy down? Now, again, we're not looking for, you know, I don't know, someone in the middle of India. You know, it's the Jewish community in Chicago. And so I send the picture of, and I circled the gentleman, and I sent it back to the people who were organizing the event. And initially, one of them didn't know. And then eventually, the other rabbi knew who the person was. The only problem was we didn't have his contact information. So then becomes the hunt for the contact information. And the number that was listed wasn't working. And we got the wife's cell, but she wasn't answering. And then through his synagogue rabbi. And then we got the number. And then we texted it. And voila. We arranged a meeting time tonight. Both of us come down just to make sure. We compared the tefillin, and each one took back his own tefillin. Now, it was a craziest story, and obviously it's worth a good podcast. But the question is, what can we learn from this great tefillin caper? Well, the first thing is called Hashgacha Pratis, is that God is watching over every one of our steps. And that video camera is an unbelievable mashal, an unbelievable parable for life. God is watching over every second, even when we don't know what time it is, and we don't know when and where we went different places. The Almighty is moving us along the continuum of life, and he's watching over us every second. And when this was happening to me, you imagine I'm a little very uncomfortable. There was about 8 hours from the time when I lost my tefillin to when I got it back. I was trying to think, what do I need to do better? It's a time of reflection, gave some tzedakah, thought about other things. And it turns out that there's a couple of ways that I needed to help other people with their tefillin that I actually ended up working on during the day. Because I'm thinking, if this is what's happening to me, if I'm having an issue with my tefillin, then maybe it's a message from the Almighty that I can do better vis-a-vis other people's tefillin. Okay, so that was the one thing. Hashgacha Pratis, God's watching over us. Okay, now, the second amazing concept that I was thinking about was what I can learn from the great tefillin keeper is hakaras hatov, is gratitude. It's gratitude. You know, I woke up this morning and I'm not sure I said that I was thankful for my tefillin. I have a general sense of appreciation how wonderful the tefillin is, what a special part of my life the tefillin is. But did I really feel the greatness of tefillin? It only was when I lost my tefillin that I remember that I got it in 1993. These tefillin are 31 years old. They are precious to me, have gone with me everywhere for the last 31 years. And they're dear and precious and beloved to me. And yet I only appreciated it when I actually thought that I might not be able to get them back. And the same thing goes with us. We have so many gifts that are so precious. Could you imagine, Reverend Miller, Avigdor Miller of blessed memory, gave an example a few weeks ago in his weekly Torah portion pamphlet that actually he died many years ago, but his students put out. And he gave an example of one of his congregants that woke up one morning and couldn't go to the bathroom. There was a blockage in the urinary path tracked somewhere, and he rushed to the hospital and they realized an emergency and he had to have several procedures for him to be able to go to the bathroom. And at that point, Avigdor Miller stops. He says, how much would this man give to be able to go to the bathroom normally? How much money would he give? And the answer is, he would give all the money in the world. All the money in the world to be able to go to the bathroom. And yet we wake up every morning, thank God, with the ability to go to the bathroom. Which means that whatever amount of money we would pay to heal ourselves, we have that worth every day. For our heart to beat, for our eyes to see. God forbid if they were taken away and then given, how much would we pay to give them, to get them back? Well, whatever that's worth, that's how much they're worth now when we wake up in the morning. And so the tefillin, how grateful I am that I have them. But now tomorrow morning, waking up, I have to have even greater appreciation. And that's the appreciation, that attitude of gratitude that is practiced. It needs to be practiced. It's not an attitude that just hits us. We have to work on it. Thank you, Hashem, for my lungs. Thank you, Hashem, for my toes. Thank you, Hashem, that my body works. And we just look around us, our friends and people that we know. And, you know, look at all how many Israeli soldiers have lost limbs. Thousands, thousands. And Israeli citizens, Jews, everyone in this war since October 7th, how many won't have limbs or certain limbs? And we wake up with them every day. That is the attitude of gratitude that we can learn from this. Now, the other quick thing I just have to point out is the incredible power of technology. I have a friend, this friend who's literally in Panama accessing from the cloud, a stream of the video camera, and we're able to identify a guy in the picture and then find out who he is and where and track him down. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? The power of the technology that Hashem has allowed us to have in our fingertips. And in fact, if you look at the cover photo of this incredible of this podcast, you're going to see something incredible. It is actually the picture of where he was when he was sending the pictures, and he sent the message: trekking through dense jungle, deep in the jungle, crossing raging waters, fighting off the piranhas and crocodiles in search of the rabbi's lost tefillin. So it's like Indiana Jones. He's there, you know, in Panama with this beautiful scene. And how much power we have at our disposal today. And the question is, how are we using that technology? I'd like to finish off with one final lesson that I think is incredibly, incredibly powerful about this incident. And, you know, as I said before, I was missing my tefillin for about 8 hours from literally 11:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. And I was in incredible pain. I know. It's hard, fill in the blank of something that's really, really precious to you. Okay? And then it dawned on me. For over 400 days, I think it's like 431 days on Monday, when you're listening to this or beyond, there are still 100 captives in Gaza for 431 days. How precious are those loved ones? How precious are those loved ones to their families, to the Jewish people, and the pain and the hole in the hearts of their friends and family and fiancés and relatives that they've been missing not for 8 hours and not for 8 days and not for 80 days, but for 431 days. And there's a concept of being mishtatef betzar, to join in the pain of the Jewish people, that even if we can't solve it, we're doing our best to pray for the release of the hostages. That's what most of us can do, and do mitzvot and do good deeds and elevate ourselves in the merit of them being released. That's where most of us, we're not doing the negotiations. That's not what we need to be focusing on. But the other thing we can do is to be mishtatef betzar, to feel the pain of our Jewish brothers and sisters who they are feeling a lack. You know, tefillin are all about gratitude. We were commanded, even in Egypt, to put on tefillin as a remembrance of the leaving of Egypt. And it's a way that we dedicate our arm, our actions, and our head, our mind, our thoughts to godliness, to be a godly person. And just as God redeemed us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, so therefore we, in gratitude for what God did for us, we put tefillin on our arm. And Pharaoh used to have what looked like tefillin to represent his royalty and his royal crown. And the commentators say that because God destroyed Pharaoh in his reign, then we put tefillin like a crown on our heads to show us that Hashem loves us. And we put tefillin on as gratitude, in gratitude to the Almighty. And so what a beautiful and powerful message as we begin this week of gratitude, of an attitude of gratitude. I am so thankful to Hashem for this whole saga, this whole great tefillin caper today, for the lessons that it taught me and for me to appreciate what I already have. God willing, this story, this great tefillin caper will inspire you to appreciate the tremendous wealth of blessing that you already enjoy. God bless. Have an amazing week. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.